welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
God, we are overwhelmed by the power of the cross. Maybe we don't always realize the depth of our sin and the awesome price that was paid for us, redemption's price. God, we just thank you. We 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 thank you. Oh God, we thank you that we are redeemed today because of the cross of Calvary. Oh, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. God, continue to abide with us during this preaching moment. And we ask that you preach. I'll stand here and you preach by your Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everything about all, this is the whole thing. Everything about every day is always new. And it's always a new beginning, and we have never done this before. So there's all kinds of things the Lord has had me doing that I've never done before, but I'm going to follow him. Amen. So now, seeing as how we're going to be in the book of Isaiah today, which is found in the Old Testament, I'd like to share a couple of words from Adrian Rogers' Legacy Bible. And I love Adrian Rogers. He's in glory now. He was sold out to the Lord. He was sold out to winning souls for the Lord. But this is a quote from him. This is what he said, and I quote, "Would you like to understand the Old Testament? There is a master key that unlocks the mystery rooms of the Old Testament, and that key is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take a Christocentric approach to the Old Testament, it will burst a flame in your hands. In fact, if you read the Old Testament and don't find Jesus, you need to go back and reread it because you've missed the message. As Acts 10:43 says, all the prophets witness to Jesus," end quote. Praise the Lord. And I'm not necessarily, I don't think, going to read the part that refers to Jesus in our pericope today, Deaconess Faith. But it's in Isaiah, the Christian perspective is in verses 6 through 12. You can read that when you get home, unless the Holy Spirit has it to be read this morning. I'm just following him around. Now, Isaiah is the first of the major prophets, and that's where we're going to be today. And the reason he's called a major prophet is just because of the length of the book. The minor prophets are called minors because the books are smaller, okay? But there's not anything different in the significance, okay? So now, Isaiah is the first, and the interesting thing about Isaiah, too, is the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. Because it's all up about Jesus. That's why. Oh, it's all up about Jesus. It's so exciting. Entire book. Praise you, Lord. Now, as far as the authorship of the book goes, I found out that there's actually a whole lot of chatter going on as to who is actually the author. Was it Isaiah? Well, parts of it were written after his death, so he couldn't have written those parts. And then there was another part that had to be written by somebody who was in exile with the people. And all these other questions, and I found that there King Hezekiah could have wrote Isaiah. And there's many as possibly 12 other authors. But guess what? As I mentioned in the first service, Minister DeAndra told us a couple weeks ago about who the revival preachers were going to be. And she said they were going Monday night, the Spirit of Jesus. Tuesday night, Spirit of Jesus. Wednesday night, Spirit of Jesus. So who wrote Isaiah? The Spirit of the living God, okay? Hallelujah. Now, I did glean some of the key teachings of Isaiah from the Essential Study Bible. And as I mentioned earlier, for those whose semester is over at Rice and you just wondering what could you possibly study over the summer with no homework attached to it, no memory verses, no reflections to write, The book of Isaiah is there for you. And these are some of the nuggets, that topics that are touched on in Isaiah. Not touched on, but really dealt with thoroughly. And I found from one commentator after another that the main theme of Isaiah is the trustworthiness of God. So if you find you struggle sometime with trusting the Lord, bam, right there. That's the book for you to go over. Well, over the summer, Sister Lamara, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Another thing, key teaching, is God is more powerful than even the greatest empires and armies. Doesn't matter who's in the White House, the outhouse, the in-house, God is greater. Yahweh is God. There is no other. The Lord had me watch the Ten Commandments a couple weeks ago, way after Easter, but I know God plans things for us. And at the end there, I mean, for those of us who've seen it and watch it every year, I finally bought it because I said, I just love the rich technicolor that is in the movie. But at the end, Yul Brynner's character, the Pharaoh, you know, he just says, Moses, God is God. And that's the conclusion everybody's going to come to one day. Amen. Praise Jesus. God's solutions, another key teaching in Isaiah, is God's solutions are often unexpected. If you ever wonder what's taking God long or how's he working this, Isaiah's the book for you. Amen. Another key teaching is God has a plan and is capable of accomplishing that plan. Won't he? Last but not least, the last key teaching they pointed out, and this is one like, woo, God persists in warning his people even after they have stopped paying attention. That's another way he never gives up on us. Amen. Now, on that note, I should let you know that God had allowed his people, Jerusalem, to be defeated by King Nebuchadnezzar and taken into captivity for approximately 7 years because of disobedience and idolatry. Please know that he is the same God today. Please turn with me to Isaiah 62. And I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard. I'm going to start at verse 1 and we're going to follow the Holy Spirit. Isaiah. The sigil. Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. I used to learn the books of the Bible. I had to make up little words. So that comes under sigil. S-I-J-L. So praise the Lord. I'm not going to try to go back through all of them this morning. Look, and you know, if you don't have it, look on with your neighbor. If you're at Jeremiah, you just passed it. If you're at Ecclesiastes, you're not there yet. And it's a great big book, okay? But anyway, if you don't have it, just hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard, starting in verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. Look, God is letting them know what I'm going to do. Everybody going to see it, okay? And you shall be called by a new name, oh, hallelujah, that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And Malachi 3, he says, in that day when I make up my jewels, you shall be mine. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 4, you shall no more be termed forsaken and your land no more termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her and your land married. For the Lord delights in you. And your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Verse 10, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up an ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And as a topic this afternoon, I would like to use sought out. Sought out. Or you can flip that over. God's looking for you. God's looking for you. God gave his people laws to obey. He made it clear to them the blessings they would reap for obedience and the curses they would reap for disobedience. You'll find that in Leviticus 26, and then it's repeated again in Deuteronomy 28, with a few little exceptions. But I mean, it's plain. If you do this, you're going to be blessed. If you do these things, you're going to be cursed. Real simple. What happened? They disobeyed. We know some of them Ten Commandments, right? Let's stick with the one we use this morning. Is that okay, Minister D? Thou shalt not lie. They disobeyed. What you think we did? We disobeyed. God caused them to suffer the consequences of their disobedience. And now the time of their reaping what had been sown was over. See, because God did say, be not deceived. He's not going to be mocked. Whatsoever a man, woman, boy, or girl sows, that shall they also reap. But isn't it good to know when it's a bad thing, so to speak, you know, that when it's over? As the psalm writer said in Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I learned to do what you say, Lord. That's what he's saying, okay? Just like when we were growing up, before we got that beating. After we got that beating, oh, no, we got less beatings, didn't we? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is saying they're going to be restored now. Now, please note this today, saints. God forgives, but he does not always stop the consequences. And for most of us who have lived over 21 years, we know we're still reaping from some of the things we did years ago. Some of us who are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, can tell you, you still are reaping, you can still reap from the choices that you make today. Young people, take heed to what the elders in your life are telling you. You don't want something to go on for the rest of your life. As we said earlier, sin don't let you see around the corner. It makes you see in a straight line. It's not going to see how you're going to break up your family. It's not going to let you see how now all of a sudden you got to go to court, pay all these court fees so that you could possibly see your kid, meet him and make an exchange at a police station, because all sin would let you do was see in a straight line. It couldn't let you see the circumstances. It couldn't let you see, young girl, about how you was going to get that disease because the brother said he loved you and you were so fine. You so fine, girl. Mm. And you said, hoo-hoo-hoo. And then next thing you got that disease and now you can't have children. Sin is exceedingly sinful. The late Timothy Ruffin said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay. No, I said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. How many more times did that one more time turn into? Now we got to go back to the AA meeting. Okay? Oh, help us, Lord. Jerusalem, oh, help us, Lord. Jerusalem will have to be rebuilt. And one commentator pointed out that God, though he is restoring them, he's not seeing fit to make things easy for them. Now, he's not trying to make it hard, but he ain't going to make it easy. They experience opposition from the locals, which challenged their faith. You know, as soon as we sit here and get into a little difficulty with what God has called us to do, well, this is just too hard, and I got to deal with these colored people, and I don't know, and Lord, and I, and ooh, and ah. But the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Just because something is challenging doesn't mean it's not from God. Matter of fact, the more challenging it is, the more that you need to know that it is from God. God didn't call us into a life of ease, comfort, and pleasure. God called us into something that's going to stretch us way beyond our wildest imaginations, way beyond what we think we could be stretched. I can't do that, Lord. That's why he called you to do it. He don't want people to do things who can't do them, because then it's going to be flesh on parade. But he calls us to do the things we can't do. And he enables us to do them. I praise the Lord for Sister Tracy Fakaluju. When we were in Sunday school class years and years ago, sitting around in the fellowship hall, and I told her, I says, I believe you have the gift of teaching. Ask the Lord. See, because you don't go out on nobody's word, and don't you put yourself in God's place to tell somebody, the Lord done told me. Because maybe he told you. Maybe he did. But you don't have to go to somebody in that way, puffing yourself up to be somebody. But always tell somebody, I believe this, go ask the Lord. She asked the Lord told her yes. I said, okay, now you have to get prepared. You have to go to school. And she went to school. I can't do that. And she didn't go to a school where she had to pay money, because somebody said, well, I ain't got no money. Don't worry about it. When I told the Lord I didn't have that, when it's about time to go to Bible college, the Lord said, he ain't asked me if I had no money. He just told me to go to school. And as the old saying goes, wherever God guides, he provides. Oh, amen. Sometimes we just don't want to use the money for that. Come on, help us. Tell the truth. Not for spiritual stuff. Wow. I'm trying to find where I'm at. Before I get in trouble. You know, it's so much easier to tithe when you only got $15 as your tithe. But what about it when it's 150? And what about when you look at me and say, what this means is $1,000 tithe. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. You're deserving of more. 10 cents on a dollar is 10 cents on a dollar. I don't care how many dollars you have. Somebody in here, God is messing with you about your giving. Amen. In Corinthians, it teaches the people that gave to the church, the Macedonians, I believe it was, that the people didn't have any problem giving because they first gave themselves to the Lord. So if you struggle with giving, it's because you haven't given yourself completely to the Lord. Whoop, there it is. Next point. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Today, too, our faith is challenged when we experience opposition. And just like the Jews were guilty, we are guilty. They had disobeyed God. He owed them nothing. And yet he's saying to them, I've come looking for you to restore you, to give you another chance, to make you my wife. We do know that Israel is the wife of God. And the church is the bride of Christ. The reason why God brought you here today, I guess I may as well go around there to go to the church. It's going to be hot outside. It'll be cool in there. My air conditioner's broke. Oh, y'all, come on. Just like when people go to work in the summer. Do you know that people always go to work in the summer because they ain't got to use their air conditioner all day? They go in there. They got their air conditioner. So they don't miss no days in the summertime. Oh, I live in the real world, okay? Oh, praise Jesus. But God did bring you here to encourage you today to know he's giving you another chance. Verse 10 again says, go through the gates. Come on in here. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. See, because Jerusalem was all torn down. They had torn down the temple. Everything was torn. It was just, you know, like looking bad out there, like 25th Street. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all want to build a church? We didn't know this. Because if you want to build a church, God will enable you to build it. Do you know that? All God wants to know is if you're willing. Little is much when it's in the master's hand. But see, God can't build the church there until he gets us right over here. See, because you know how people like new stuff? That's my church up there on 25th Street, girl. Hey, the Lord is blessing us right now. You know, all that kind of foolishness. But God got to work on the man on the inside first. And it's taken him all these years. Think about it. Working on us before we could go over there. Oh, hallelujah. But he's about to break out up in here in our midst. Okay, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the church of the Redeemer Baptist. Oh, no, I wasn't in there, excuse me. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. God is encouraging them to start rebuilding. What's in your life that needs to be rebuilt today? Get rid of all the debris from the destroyed city. Clear out the stones. That Negro's gone. Throw his stuff out. Stop going in there smelling them clothes. Throw the stuff out. He left you. Move on. Tear down that shrine that you built to him in the back room. Tear it down. Bring them clothes around to the church. Give them away. Throw them shoes out. You keep putting them on and walking around the house in them every other day. Somebody's doing that because this ain't on my paper. I don't know what's going on up in here, but somebody's going to get free today. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And not only when he says to clear out the stones and lift up an ensign over the peoples. And I was like, Lord, what is that ensign? So I'd look it up. I mean, I had an idea, it's a sign. But he said a flag. Now, we just got word Wednesday about writing a vision and making it big and making it plain so people could see it. So what God is saying to them is, I'm going to restore you. All the people around you saw when I judged you, when I had to make you suffer for your disobedience. They saw. And they looked at you and they thought something about me. That's what God is saying. But now I'm going to show them that I'm restoring you, that I have redeemed you. I'm bringing you back to myself. And I want you to put a flag out there. You put a flag out there so all of them is going to see what's going on with them. I thought their God had forsaken them. He said, you'll no longer be calling forsaken, because them being called forsaken was only by the world. Because God will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. But he said, raise that flag up so people will see it. It will proclaim restoration to all who see it. All will know you as the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out because he came and got them. Okay? A city not forsaken. Your God has come looking for you too. To let you know that he's restoring you now. And he's been looking for some of us here today to let us know that our debt has been paid. Oh, and what places it was that he came looking for us, seeking us out. Hotels, motels, Holiday Inn. We were slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding, dropping it like it was hot even when it was cold. Hey. We were lying about this, about that, about the other. We were cheating on taxes, putting the dog on there, on taxes, on husbands, on wives, with best friends, booze, or at least they were thinking we were their friends. We weren't looking for him to put a ring on it, and he wasn't thinking about no ring, and we was all liking it. Casey all forgot, right? Oh, meet us where we live at, Lord. Meet us where we live at. And I tell you the truth, you wouldn't want them to put no ring on it just because of that. For real, for real. And yet God came looking for us. Where is it that you and I will not go for a lost soul? Crack house, whore house, halfway house, number house, speakeasy, a bar, a club, a casino. I ain't going in there with them people. Well, you used to be one of them people. And so did I. That's where God got us from. And another thing he's flipping in there now is the late Ruffin had said, why you got a problem with the man drinking if you met him in a bar? Hey, work this thing, Holy Ghost. Praise Praise you, Lord. God went in there and got us, and we need to go in there and get somebody else out. But now if you got an issue with drinking and gambling or whatever, something, you know, you really had a problem God delivered you from, don't sit there and go, child, I went to church today, and they told me I could go back to the bar, girl. They told me I could go in there and be a witness. I'm going to buy me some tracks, and I'm going down to the club, girl. No, no, no. He wasn't talking to you. He wasn't telling you that. He's not trying to send you back into addiction, okay? You done got to be the leader of the whole NA and everything, and now you're going to go sniffing and snorting and peeping and stuff, and no, you can't do that. No, 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 no. Oh, yes, I know. There's somebody who was a victim. What is this, Lord, we got going on in here? Oh, yeah. Some of the things that we were victims of. Help us, Lord. You know, when God came and got us, we don't know what he spared us from. Okay? Sometimes there was a knock at the door, and that stopped that thing when them guys was about to pull a train on you. Okay? Somebody else in here, you survived the train. Don't nobody know that but you and God. Somebody else in here, you were in the train. You were one of the ones in the train. Messing with the girl. There's a whole lot of things that God kept us from and kept us through. Okay? Because we didn't lose our mind. We didn't catch a case. And some of them little things, I might not have touched on it, but the Holy Ghost pricked you right where you live. You know that stuff. What you did that you act like now you ain't never did nothing wrong. Help us, Lord. Help us. But now's the time, since God has got you on the street called straight and had you live through that stuff, now's the time to tell. Because you see, there's another young girl out here or a young boy. And they was lured to a place, the wrong place, by somebody who was supposed to be their friend or a sibling. We never knew just what we would do to have friends, did we? And somebody else here, you did the deed. Oh, yeah, you did. Your secret's been safe all these years. And guess what? This afternoon, God is not about exposing you. He doesn't expose us. If you don't believe it, just think about that one thing or one of the things that nobody in here knows about, that nobody anywhere knows about. All those who were involved have either moved to another state or they die. And so your secret is safe. See, because some of us know if the right person walked up in here through these doors, you'd be saying, okay. I got it. But God ain't let them walk up in here on you, did he? So they can come in here and say, look, let me tell you about her. She up there preaching now, and let me tell you this. Oh, he deacon now, let me tell you this. Oh, he's just in the church. But the fact that we just in the church. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So why is it that we're acting like we never did anything wrong? Why are we so judgmental? Why are we always pointing out the speck in someone else's eye? When there's that great big beam, that huge plank in our own eye. Now think about this, saints. The more that you sound the alarm about what someone else is doing, the more you're actually revealing about yourself. Let's do the point thing. We did it this morning. Point. Take your finger, point. I want to know what you'd like to do. He pointed right at me, too. He's like, praise Jesus. Point. He said, I've been waiting to do this. Point. Now, everybody got a point going on, and I'm not going to look at nobody when I say this, but somebody is sitting here, and they're saying, I ain't pointing nobody. What's this stuff? I don't know. Preachers always telling you to make you do something. I ain't doing no pointing up in here. But let me tell you something. If that's you, that's not the only thing you're rebellious about. Bam! In our faces. In our faces, Lord. In our faces. But as we point, look how many fingers are pointing back at us. So in other words, that means we got more drama going on than the one that we pointing out. If the truth be told, if the truth be told. Oh, help us, Lord, help us. You know, when I was growing up, they had that saying. See, because this is the thing. Also, everybody find a neighbor. I want you to tell your neighbor, if you spot it, you got it. Tell your other neighbor, if you spot it, you got it. How in the world do you know that so-and-so has a takeover spirit? How you know they up there just trying to be somebody? Look at that. There they go. Now, how many crimes they going to sing that over and over again? We know they could sing. Remember when we were growing up, some of us, the saying was, takes one to know one. So that's how, if you spot it, you got it. So the next time when you want to point out something that's really what you think detrimental about somebody else, how do you know? How do you think you know? Because it used to be you. I just make that plain for somebody didn't get it. Oh, hallelujah. But remember that. If you spot it, tell somebody else, if you spot it, you got it. So stop pointing out my stuff. Praise you. Hallelujah. But yeah, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. But you know what? And yet in the midst of all of this, though, we were sought out by God. Backstabbers. This is all who we used to be. Praise God, used to be. Liars, jealous hearted, envious, covetous, greedy. We had all kinds of addictions. Drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, pornography, shopping, buying clothes. And some of you have to ask you, I have to ask you right now to forgive me, you know, for what I'm about to say. I had to apologize to Minister D earlier. Because me and her, we got some guilty stuff going on. Anyway, here we go. Shopping, buying clothes and shoes that have yet to be worn. Fearfully stockpiling canned goods and groceries, waiting for World War III. These are addictions. You think of that, but this stuff is real. This stuff is real. This stuff is really real. I ain't going to look at nobody because then I'll be in bigger trouble because my stuff is in here too. I want to let you know my stuff is in here too, okay? So here we go. Buying so many office supplies, pens, pencils, Sharpies, markers, and reams of paper. Addictions. We're lying, cheating, stealing, and lying about stealing. Somebody in here has got somebody else's mate. Their heart, anyway. I mean, after all, she stayed with him. But you still have her heart. And I ain't going to say nothing else about what y'all do. Because you already know. Because you ain't left her alone so that her heart could go all the way over to her husband. Because you keep her in there, but baby, you know. And she need to know, no, baby, he don't. Okay? You know, sisters, we gotta really ask the Lord to liberate us from being so weak for so many things that when brothers say, and we keep falling for the okie doke. Now, I ain't going to look at nobody. I have to look at myself and praise Jesus, pipe from scorn. But at the end of the day, don't let the brother fool you when you're putting on them pounds. And he said, girl, it's all right. I got more to hold on to. No, 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 no. That's his insecurity speaking. You get that weight off. Okay? Praise Jesus. You be healthy for Jesus. Stop. I'm trying to tell you something. Okay? Praise you, Lord. That was just a little aside. Bring me back, King Jesus. You know, set us free, Lord. God Almighty came looking for us, searching for us, if you will, in the midst of all our sin and shame, in the midst of all the filth that our lives consisted of. He sought us out. He was on a mission to let us know of the Godhead's plan to come to redeem us, to restore us. The time of our reaping would have been sown for that has come to an end. Somebody should say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Don't act like you don't want them to know that you've been reaping from something, because we all been reaping from something. Yeah, amen. The Lord went down that back alleyway and moved a piece of wood that was being used as a door. Why? Because he knew George was in there. And he said, I'm going in. I'm going in. He got hit upside the head a couple of times, but he kept coming because that's the power of the cross. He said, I got to go get Connie out of that again. He pushed past those spiritual bouncers, if you will, those demonic spirits that had held her captive from the womb. You see, nobody taught her mama that what she does, reads, thinks, watches, says while pregnant is influencing that baby she's carrying. She ignored the Lord at first because some of that stuff was so funny. How could there be anything wrong with it? She had already forgotten what her actions had cost her when that other baby didn't survive. Some of us perhaps could go back in time and maybe ask our parent or something, what was going on when you were pregnant with me? Some of those things we see, characteristics and stuff in our children, that we wonder where that came from. See, because we, and this is sad to say this, we who are spiritual beings, and we do know that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, the spirit world is more real than what we see. And you're sitting up there and you're watching Scandal and you're pregnant and you're saying, that's right, do that. You know, you ever notice how you sit there and watch the TV shows and you're rooting for the sinners? Yeah, leave him. You need to leave him. That's right, leave him. Oh, come on, right? So now this baby is in here listening to all this stuff. And now when this baby becomes adult, it cannot have a real relationship with anybody. Because that spirit attached itself to that baby in the womb. Ask the Lord. Don't you ever allow yourself to think that nobody loves you or wants you. Because the King of Kings, the blessed and only potentate, El Shaddai himself, the Holy Spirit, the entire Godhead came looking for you and for me. He sought us out. He came into some ungodly places, some ungodly situations, some ungodly filth. And tore fire to everyone in there looking for you and looking for me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should have been riddled with disease. We should have been and could have been dead. Somebody should have killed us. We out there driving drunk as a skunk. Came home, parked the car perfect. He ain't let us get no accident. Let us hit nobody. Went out there the next day, sober as a judge. Couldn't get the car out the parking space. Oh, hallelujah. Because it was in there, fit like a glove, didn't touch nobody else's bumper. That was the power of the cross. That was the power of God's love, being with us, keeping us in the midst of all of our stuff. Come on, Lord. You know all them lies you told when you was cheating? And he ain't let you get caught. And I'm talking about cheating on your mate. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. And you ain't never get caught. Because God had mercy on us. Some of us could have got killed for some of the stuff that we was doing. But God had mercy on us. It wasn't anything so good about us. But this is why parents and grandparents, it's important that you pray from the womb to all the whole life of the child. You do not know the things that the demonic spirits that Satan has set out for us and for our children. He doesn't know everything, but he is privy to some stuff. And he may not be able to explain it all, but some kind of way I bet he knew God was going to save us. Yeah. Remember, as Damon Jones said too, and that's why the enemy tried to kill some of us when we were kids, when we were babies. Some of the things that we had to go through, some of the rape and the molestation. He wanted to kill our character. He wanted us to think, there's no way God could love you. Why he let all this stuff happen to you? But God had another plan. He was making us a whole nother person. He was making us somebody who was going to be able to withstand some stuff that people will look at us and say, how you go through all that and you still serve the Lord? How you go through all that and you still love God? Come on, God was doing something. some stuff. He wasn't loving nobody better than us. He loves us all the same. But hallelujah, if one thing, make sure you understand this today. If only one thing had been different in our lives, we'd have been different people. Including that rape, including that molestation. If one thing had been different, we would have been different people and we might not be saved and in the church today. If I even had a picture of my father, just a picture, I'd have been a different person. But God left a blank place there. You understand what I'm saying? Because he knew who he wanted me to be. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I couldn't be who I was if I knew who my daddy was. Oh, hallelujah. 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 See, we got to see this thing through his eyes. We got to stop looking at it in the natural realm. Who gives a hoot what everybody thinks? She ain't got no daddy. Yes, I do. I just don't know him. Oh, hallelujah. But I got a good, good father. Oh. Oh. Abba. Abba. I am Abba's and Abba is mine. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. And he came out looking for me. A fatherless child who had been molested for years. And he came and got me. Oh, hallelujah. And he changed my name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 We sought out. God was looking for us. He ain't looked for us in no perfect circumstances. Hallelujah. People who got so-called perfect circumstances don't even know they need God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If God sought us out, he came and got us out of the vile pits of sin and degradation, cleaned us up through the suffering of Jesus Christ on that cross, and even allowed some of us to get dirty again and again and yet again. If he did all that, if he did all that, why won't we stop being so earthbound in our thinking? So tied to this world, if you will, that we keep holding back part of our hearts from him. Some of us here today know what it feels like not to have all of a person's heart. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. If you're not willing to serve this God who relentlessly pursued you from the womb, not even from the womb, from when you was a twinkle in your daddy's eye. Oh, hallelujah. He was pursuing you. Oh, if you're still holding against him the fact that you were hurt or that this happened to you or that happened to you, then it could possibly be that you have only met him. You know, like when one attends a special event, and some dignitary or individual that you deem to be famous was there. Let's say when Barack Obama was the honored guest and there was electricity in the room because of his presence and you were in the midst. You were there hobnobbing with the rich and famous. And oh my goodness, OMG, you even got to shake his hand. And he looked you in the eye. The exhilaration lasted for weeks, possibly months, or even years. And you told so many that you were there. And what happened? How he shook your hand. Or maybe someone else, for someone else, it was how you had actually been kissed by Smokey Robinson when the Miracles had their last performance as a group at the Palestra. But the reality of it all was that you only met Barack Obama or even Smokey Robinson. You were just caught up in being there in the crowd. In the midst of those who actually knew these two men. Every now and then, when the memory of being at either special event sweeps over you, you still smell the smells or you feel the kiss as you relive some parts of that night. But the memory is fading. You were there, but you didn't actually know Barack Obama or even Smokey Robinson. You were just caught up in those special moments in time. In the same way, some of you have come to church, even been at different churches. And the electricity of being at a church when the Spirit of the living God is moving mightily is incomparable. There is nothing on earth which we can compare such an event. When my daughter was around 10 or 11 years old, she shared with me one Sunday evening that she had felt something when we were in church that day. Also, when I had a young girl shadowing me in chaplaincy, and we had been in a room with a Christian family, and the woman was transitioning. And so the young girl, she came out the room, and she said, "I felt something when we were in that room." And I said, "That was the presence of the Holy Spirit." We do know that everybody that's in the church, when God the Spirit is moving, can feel something because God does not withhold himself from anyone. But that feeling is not to be equated with the salvation experience. So too, when an individual who got caught up in the moving of the Spirit of God leaves church and no longer has that feeling, they return to church week after week seeking that same feeling. Every now and then it may come back a little, but it doesn't last. Of course, you know it's the preacher's fault. He or she is not anointed. So you come, but you don't serve. And it's okay for you to pick and choose which Sundays you will come to church or even attend a revival. Newsflash. Only living things can be revived. So maybe some of us need to ask the Lord why we had no desire to come to revival. I don't care nothing about if it was the same preachers, if Jesus used the same preachers every year. I don't care. The Spirit of the Lord is going to move mightily. But have you matured so much? Have I matured so much that we can't hear them? It's funny how people are saying now, the Knicks, we want to hear somebody different. We want to hear somebody different preach. Well, hello, people. What they say, hello, lights and walls. Oh, when we get a pastor, you're going to hear the same person every week. So it's not about the person. It's about the Spirit of the living God. Amen. It's not about the preacher. We got things so twisted, God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, forgive us. If you only met the Lord, now you know why you have no desire to attend Bible study or attend retreats or conferences. You're still looking for that feeling of exhilaration, and there's no guarantee you'll get it there. Today, my brother and sister, I pray that the reality of you being sought out by the living God changes your mind. God's looking for you. Come out of hiding. Let him redeem you. Let him restore you. Because that's the power of the cross. And never again will you have to say, do not pass me by. You won't need to sing that song. Because you'll know he's with you always, even until the end of the world. God brought you here today to know that the reaping you had to do for that is over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. He said, behold.